Dear Lord, fill me with your breath of life. Fill this room with your spirit so that each may hear your words in their own language. Amen. I want you to close your eyes. I want you to close your eyes and think about your breath. Think about how your breath feels, the rhythm it makes as it moves through your body, in, out, and as you are breathing, in and out, in and out. I want you to think about all the things that you do with your breath. Talking to a friend, laughing out loud, singing hymns in the congregation, crying by yourself, shouting, "Watch out!" Whispering, "I love you." Think about how your breathing in and out has sustained you, given you life since the day you were born. You are more than just your breath, but without your breath, you would be a pile of dry bones. Prophesy to the breath, mortals. Pay attention to your breath. Keep focusing on your breath. Think about how we talk about our breath. Think of the emotions evoked by our breath, the songs and sayings that talk about breath. Every breath you take, just breathe. If you're in the Daniel Tiger Club, if you're feeling so mad that you want to roar, take a deep breath and count to four. Nothing is lost on the breath of God. Breathe on me, breath of God. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Prophesy to the breath. I'm going to keep reminding you to focus on your breath, but you can open your eyes if you want to. In the Bible, when you hear the word breath, I want you to think about a word. Well, it's really two words, but they carry the same meaning. In the Old Testament, in Hebrew, that word is ruach. In the New Testament, in Greek, that word is pneuma. Ruach, pneuma. That is the word in both biblical languages for breath. But in both languages, ruach and pneuma, the word can also mean wind, like the rushing wind that overtakes the disciples, like the four winds that God tells Ezekiel to call upon. Pneuma, ruach. It's also the word that the Bible uses for spirit. It could mean your own spirit, the life force within you, the part of you that's more than just your body, that lives in the rhythm of breathing. In and out. In and out. Ruach. Pneuma. But most importantly, ruach and pneuma are the words that the Bible uses for God's Holy Spirit, the presence of God that we feel in our bodies, the spirit of life, the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead and dwells in us. Ruach. Pneuma. Hear those words, ruach and pneuma, and think about God's spirit. Think about the ways in which God's spirit is like the wind. It sweeps across the earth with power, yet can be invisible, seen only in its effects, the way it moves us, the way it changes us, the way it swirls and eddies, ever-present yet unpredictable, like some kind of wild magic unleashed upon the world. Hear those words, ruach and pneuma, and think about the ways in which God's spirit is like your breath. God's spirit is intimate, touching us in ways unique to us, tangled up in our living bodies, in the messiness of our individual lives, our stories, our guts. God's Spirit is life, as breath is life. God uses breath as the very mechanism of creation. God breathes life into the earth, creating animals and plants, into Adam's nostril, creating humanity, into the valley of dry bones, creating hope for a lost people, into the disciples at Pentecost, creating a church to reach all people in their own language. Ruach, pneuma. The rich meanings of these words is not an accident, but they reveal something essential about the Spirit of God, that this Holy Spirit is like both wind and breath. The Spirit is powerful and universal like the wind, rushing through us beyond our control, sweeping over the world, touching everyone. But the Spirit is also like a breath. It's personal, individual, speaking to each one of us in our own language, speaking through our bodies, our voices, to reach others. Our breath is our own. I can't breathe for you. You can't breathe for me. The Holy Spirit will look and sound different to each one of us. God's Spirit rushes like a noisy wind, but we each hear it in our own language. I want you to pay attention to your breath and envision yourself in that room at Pentecost. You're in first century Jerusalem, in some unknown room, a room big enough to hold the 12 disciples, plus probably all the believers who stuck around after Jesus was killed. The author of Acts, whom we call Luke, guesses the total number of believers to be about 120. I'm not sure if all 120 were there at Pentecost. That would seem to require a pretty big room. But, you know, we think of this big group when we think of Pentecost. We think of it as a group story, something that happened all at once to a group of people. Partly this is because Luke doesn't say exactly who's in it. He doesn't take attendance, simply saying they were all there together. All of a sudden, the Spirit enters with a sound like a rush of a violent wind. But I also want you to think of the Spirit coming as a breath, of how, though they are part of this group, each of these believers experienced Pentecost as an individual, bringing in their life experience and assumptions, and carrying away individual memories of what it was like. We don't know the names of each of the believers, but we do know that all the big names are there. There's Peter, the spokesperson, the fisherman figuring out how to be a leader. Surely Mary Magdalene was there, and almost certainly Jesus' mother Mary and his brothers. Although in that moment, though we know all those names, it's a room full of nobodies, each and every one of whom will later have churches and cathedrals and basilicas built in their name. Everyone here will eventually become Saint someone. So we think about the Spirit as the rush of a violent wind, but we also think of the Spirit as breath, being carried on the breath of each someone, filled by the same Holy Spirit, like your lungs, filling up with precious air, in and out, in and out. I want you to come back to your breath, in and out, in and out. I want you to think of how, in the story of creation, God uses breath to bring life into being. Breath has been a point of connection between God and creation from the very beginning. Before Pentecost, before Ezekiel prophesied to the breath, before the words of Genesis were ever written down, humans have been breathing. We have been sensing in our breath a connection to the divine, ruach, pneuma. There's a reason why these ancient words link spirit, wind, and breath together. It is because our very bodies, our tired brains, our messy guts, are all attuned, and they always have been, to the rhythm of God's working in the world, to the rhythm of life stirring inside of us, to the rhythm of our breath, every day, every hour, in and out. We find connection to God's Spirit in so many ways. Not usually by speaking in tongues or seeing tongues of fire, although for some Christians, that's the way they like to do it. For us, it's not usually one big dramatic event. Instead, our Pentecost often comes in fleeting moments. Those moments when we feel that filling up, like a breath of fresh air, when we feel connected to each other, to all creation, by a rushing, sweeping wind. Or in those moments when we feel that emptying out, like the release of a breath we didn't know we were holding in, a letting go, a beautiful emptiness when our busy inner monologue finally shuts down and we're left with the peace and the silence of our breath. In and out. In and out. And each one of us experiences these Spirit moments in our own ways. We find that the Spirit speaks to us each in our own language. I want you to think of ways you've connected to the Spirit in the past, or ways that you know that others do. Think of how many of these ways depend on breath, not just in the obvious way we must all breathe to stay alive, but think of how many of the ways that we reach these moments of filling up or emptying out revolve around the breath. There's the rhythmic breathing of the runner, focusing the body until the mind empties out. There's the breath of an actor, projecting loudly in an act of connecting with the audience. There's the mindful breath of meditation, the words of encouragement from a teacher, the strength and surrender of a prayer, the quick catch of a breath before sending out a song, then the thrill and awe of joining breath to breath, the Spirit brought forth in harmony every time we sing together. For me, it's singing and playing music. Surprise! Sometimes I've felt like those dry bones. My hope feels lost. I'm cut off completely from God. But then I show up here and raise my voice in song, and I feel that breath of life come into me, building up sinews and flesh and skin, making me live. These are just a few examples. You may have your own rituals or activities that bring you into connection with the Spirit, or maybe you haven't found one yet. Or perhaps your Spirit-filling practice is too unconventional or embarrassing for you to admit. That's okay. The lesson of the Spirit as breath, the lesson of Pentecost, is that the Holy Spirit reaches us in our own language with the breath inside our very own bodies. And each body, each person, is a point of connection to the Spirit of God, just because you breathe. There's no filter. There's no dress code. No one can say you are unworthy of connection to the Spirit. That connection was built into you from the very beginning. This week, I want you to pay attention to the Spirit. It doesn't always show up as a gust of wind or an army of the dead, thankfully, or by speaking in foreign tongues. Sometimes it's just a breath, in and out, in and out. In and out.
God is here among us, hymn number 16. Would you stand, please?